From Indiana Public Radio and Ball State University, this is The Scene, the show that captures live music right from our own backyards and brings it straight to you. I'm your host, Christopher Golab, and this week we're bringing you SM Wolf, an Indianapolis-based power pop rock band from performances in seasons 6 and 8. We were also able to get an exclusive interview with Adam Gross, the frontman, singer, songwriter, and guitar player for the band. But first, join me as we travel back to season 6 at the Hi-Fi in Fountain Square on June 21st, 2015. Listening to SM Wolf on The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. It's really great to meet you, Adam. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'd like to kick off this interview with a personal question. How did music become your passion?
Oh, man. That's really... Man, I started pretending to play music like as far back as I can remember. My both of my parents were like really into music and both really had rock star dreams, but they didn't really have any musical skill. My dad, a little bit, he kind of could play drums and could sing pretty well, but like neither of them really pursued anything. So I think that they kind of just instilled that in me from a young age with like music being all over everywhere. I have a picture of me. I'm like 3 years old with this like fake red plastic guitar microphone amplifier combo that they bought me, playing on like a cardboard box that I set up as a stage at one of my mom's Tupperware parties. I've always wanted to do it, I guess. In elementary school, I did band and played clarinet and saxophone, and that was fun enough, but I went to a Tony Bennett concert with my grandma. After the concert, I was like, man, he was so good, it was so exciting, and she was like, if you could play any other instrument, what would you play? And I said, guitar. The next day, we went to a pawn shop and bought this super cheap acoustic, and like that was really my intro into like taking it seriously, songwriting, and really learning how to play music I cared about, you know, not just Ode to Joy or something.
I appreciate you sharing that personal story. When was your first band?
Like right after that. It was really cool because I learned how to play guitar like at the exact same time as one of my best friends, who was also named Adam. And his stepdad was a bass player, so they had a bass. So like he was playing bass, I was playing guitar. And then our other friend named Adam got a drum kit and just like fumbled his way through. And that was our first band. We were probably like 13 or so. It was called Prone. It was terrible, but yeah, that was my first band.
When did you start writing music?
Like right around that same time. I got like a book and I started learning like chords. I was kind of fumbling through that, and I had like a distant uncle who came over and he played music. I didn't really grow up with him, so like I kind of just started to get to know him right around that time. And he was like, I'm going to teach you two chords, A minor and E minor, and just play those back and forth until your hands want to fall off. And I did. And then he taught me how to read like a chord chart. So I just started picking through the chords in the book that I had. Back in the day when magazines were more common, I used to buy Guitar World or Guitar Player every month. And in the back of those, they would have tabs. And I like learned how to read tabs from that. Probably like a year after I started playing, figured out what a power chord was. And then like, boom, just wrote five songs right away, you know, like having the power chord at my disposal really opened up a whole world.
I definitely agree. Power chords definitely changed the game forever.
Yeah.
For sure. So were you writing music for that first band you were in?
Yeah. It was like half original, half cover things that we were doing. The first song I ever wrote was called Problems, and it was like very high school, like exactly what you would think, expect like a high school punk or like rock band. They were all, you know, pretty similar to that. Once I wrote like one song, it was just like the floodgates opened. Oh.
The goal of this
I'm Adam Gross, singer and guitarist for Indianapolis band SM Wolf. You're listening to The Scene from Indiana Public Radio.
So you can offer a bunch of answers for this next question, but who would you say influences your writing the most?
Yeah, that is a bunch. I mean, I was raised like on the Beatles and Hendrix and Pink Floyd. So like, you know, that just seeps into your like blood. Probably more John Lennon than anyone else in the Beatles influence. Though lately, I feel like I've been ripping Harrison a lot. Like Hendrix is my favorite guitar player. So when it comes to guitar stuff, it's generally Hendrix inspired. When I hit like high school, I really got into like quirky off-kilter stuff. Syd Barrett from like the first songwriter for Pink Floyd is probably my favorite songwriter of all time. So his stuff definitely plays in just with the like playful, slightly weird aspect of that. Yet still like very poppy.
So can you explain your songwriting process and what instruments you use to write?
Well, I write generally with melody first. My songwriting process is usually like just sit around and wait for something to come to me. And it's usually like a melody, and I'll just like mumble that until I can get to a guitar. If there's a piano around, I've written a few songs on piano. And sometimes I start with guitar first, but also sometimes I'll start from piano first or something. But generally it's a melody. And then I try to shape chords to that.
Gotcha. So are there any other creative activities you participate in to maybe combat writer's block?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely periods where like for out of nowhere in 3 weeks, I'll write like 6 songs and I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. And it just like it happens, you know, because something's in the air and I feel it, I guess. But then there'll be like months where I haven't written anything and I'm like, all right, man. You gotta do something, you know, like, I gotta snap out of this. When that happens, I mean, I, like, creatively, like, I really like to draw. I'm really bad at drawing, but, like, I enjoy it. Just, I do a lot of, like, automatic drawing, and I've done some automatic painting, and I think that's really helpful because, like, it allows me to, like, stretch my creative muscle, but not, like, overthinking it. Sometimes I'll, like, draw a little bit, just random doodly type things, and then color it in, and that kind of gets me feeling like creative, you know. Or nature, kayak a lot more this year than ever because there isn't anything to do anymore. Taking my dog out to different parks and stuff like that sometimes will snap me out of it too.
You
You're listening to SM Wolf on The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. So if you could change one thing about the Indiana music scene, what would it be?
I wouldn't change anything with the bands. I wouldn't change anything with the music at all. I think the music coming out of Indiana is great. It's sincere. It's honest. It's like genuine. It's really unfortunate that every couple months another powerhouse in like the musical world in Indianapolis, maybe Indiana in general, dies. When Nuvo was still in print, they were the only people covering music aside from like the Indy Star, who for a long time just did national stuff. It was really cool to like see your picture and have a write up in the paper about you, you know? That gave people the illusion that you were popular and that they should care about you because someone took the time to write about you. And now like Nuvo's moved to being online and was basically gutted. Like, it's still there, but it's not there much. Just this last week, Dave Lindquist, who's the music journalist for the Indy Star, accepted a buyout and they're not going to do it anymore. I remember reading something about how he was like one of the last 20 music journalists left in like local news. That's really bad for a music community, you know? Growing up in Elkhart, like that whole region up there, South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart, Goshen, we would have a music venue pop up. It'd be awesome and it'd be closed in a year. And things that made people care about it just come and they go. And that's really difficult because now everyone is just vying for attention with Spotify likes or listens and Facebook likes and Instagram likes. And it's all super artificial. It's cool that everyone has a blog and a podcast, but also, it doesn't like hold the same weight as a print source does. More opportunities to give people recognition, I guess.
So both of the performances that we are rebroadcasting on this episode are from the Hi-Fi. Can you tell me a little bit what it's like to perform there?
The Hi-Fi has the best sound engineer in the city, Wes Heaton. I mean, they built that room specifically for sound reinforcement. You know, it's not like a bar that they decided to have shows in or like a theater that they decided to have shows in. It's very purpose built. So I think that makes it sound great. And then Wes is just super knowledgeable, really in control, like knows that room really well and has good gear and has a great ear. Like on stage and in the crowd, I think it just sounds great. That's certainly the best part. I mean, they have a nice green room and they always have free drinks and stuff backstage, which is cool. Private artist bathroom, which is rare and nice, but the sound is certainly the best part.
Would you like to share any interesting stories from playing at the Hi-Fi?
I've had some great times there. I opened for Destroyer, who's like, I said Syd Barrett's like my favorite songwriter. Destroyer is probably my favorite like modern songwriter. And I opened for him there and he was flying to Indianapolis and his plane got delayed. So they pushed the show back a little bit. And then they're like, man, you're going to have to play. Hopefully he gets here. So I started playing and I had planned to just play like 30, 40 minute solo acoustic set. And the stage manager just kept walking up beside the stage, like after 40 minutes, like giving me a like, keep going. And I played like every song I had. I played like an hour and a half. Luckily, he got there right around the hour and a half mark. And he didn't have a guitar. His guitar got lost when they were changing planes because like it was on the plane that he was initially supposed to be on or something. So he like had to play my guitar. It was great, but it was quite an experience.
We're about to go to break before we hit season 8 material, but stay tuned. We've got more conversation and music coming up soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Scene from Indiana Public Radio. So this next question is, where does the name SM Wolf come from?
Okay.
I have done a little research and I haven't been able to find this answer.
It's a silly story involving me, like, at 2 a.m, walking my dog around a, like, retention pond at my old apartment complex, and there was a chained up husky in the corner, and I thought, like, in my drunk mind, I thought that maybe it was a wolf because it was, like, snarling at me, and then it jumped out and was chained up. I was, like, self-talking, like, oh, you idiot. There aren't wolves in Indiana. And then, like, throughout the walk, I kept thinking about it and thought, like, well, what if it was a wolf really into, like, bondage or something, and that's why it was all chained up? And then I thought, like, oh, it'd be an S&M wolf. That's funny. I thought, like, wow, what a cool band name. It sounds like a early 20th century author like C.S. Lewis or E. Cummings or T.S. Eliot, how everyone used to do that. That's the story.
You know, that's actually funny that you say that it sounds like an author, because that's definitely what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to say that I do think that it is really cool that you do have a story to go along with that name.
I think you're the first person in an interview setting that I've actually told that story to. I generally am, like, vague, and I'm like, I just thought it sounded like an author. I've lied before and said that it's some obscure author. It's a sadomasochistic wolf. That's what it stands for, everybody.
All right, well, then we got the scoop today.
You got the scoop.
Here's SM Wolf from Season 8.
Thank you. But you're alive, my friend. The life, you know, has got to go. Illusion strong and lasting long. Oh, we never fall away, sit eyes. Oh, we never fall away, sit eyes. Was DeLorean, but now the ocean's overflowing. You know you had it wrong. Yeah, you know you had it wrong. You go southern in the summer. You bring up all the wonder. But time has shown you up. Yeah, time has shown you up. You said the treetop life awaits us. We'll see you when you're famous. But time has shown you up. Your time had shown you up.
Hi, I'm Adam Gross from the band SM Wolf, and you're listening to The Scene from Indiana Public Radio.
You were tumbling faster. We were even on track for the entrance. The entrance, oh the entrance. The entrance to life. You were singing it to me, but I couldn't see through the indifference. Indifference, old indifference. Oh, you're feeling down. Yeah, you know you got a way so far. Yeah, you know you got a way so far. Town to town, I was coming up jaded and faced a life unfaded. The distance, the distance. So the distance at hand, haven't seen in me slow bits. Oh God, if I would've known its existence, existence, old existence. Are you feeling down? Yeah, you know you got a ways to fall. Oh, yeah, you know you got a way to fall. But the sunlight won't fade. For old friends gone gray. You braved every step and made no mistake. But the sunlight. song rattles on.
I'm Adam Gross, and I play guitar and sing in the band SM Wolf. You're listening to The Scene from Indiana Public Radio.
What's it like being a musician during the pandemic?
Oh, I mean, it's terrible. I don't know if there's any other way to put that. SM Wolf had an album released in April. Like, we had an album release planned, a show and stuff. And
that was Phases of What?
Yeah, Phases of What. Luckily, we didn't press vinyl. We just did CDs with song lathe cut into it as like a bonus and cassettes. So we weren't out a ton of money, but we had to do a release. We didn't want to sit on it for a year, you know? So we released it and I did a live stream, and it really went way better than I was expecting. Like, we really had decent sales and we had a lot of people tuning in. But, you know, every album I've released, like, my entire life, I've had some kind of show and done some kind of fanfare for. It was very different. And SM Wolf has been recording this whole time, but we're recording in, like, groups of two. I'm, like, singing scratch vocals through a mask. You know, it's just, like, it's not the same at all. It like pains me to watch like a video will pop up of like a show like on my timeline or something, and I like can't even watch it because it hurts my body to not be able to like perform in front of people. Like, live streams are fun. I was just talking to someone about this the other day. Like, live streams are cool. I think it's awesome that people are doing it. I have a little brother who's 17, and he asked me, like, what do you think the pandemic would have been like if it happened in, like, when you were 17? And I was like, oh my God, it would have been so much worse, because there wasn't great ways of connecting with people, not in person. Like, you could email or you could have a phone call. So, like, it is great that we have the opportunity to connect to people virtually, and we have the opportunity to connect live and play live for people virtually. I'm glad we have that, but it is not anywhere close to the same experience.
So far you've done one live stream with SM Wolf, or have there been more?
I did one like SM Wolf live stream for Phases of What. And then I did a couple for like events back in the spring.
So do you ever get messages from your audience? Or do you find that people are a lot more shy online than they would be if they were to see you live at a show?
Yeah, you know, I get messages like from friends, you know, who will be like, hey, I tuned in, that was really cool. Like, it was fun seeing your dog in the background or something, you know. But you don't get the stranger, you know, or the person you don't know very well. Like, you know, you can see who's tuned in, and I can see that there are people I don't know tuned in. People are intimidated to just reach out and send you random message from random person that's like, oh, hey, I liked your thing. It's way easier in person to, you know, walk past the person at the venue after they played and be like, oh man, that was really awesome.
So do you think it would be a really cool practice or message to tell people that it's okay to send messages to artists?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great practice. And honestly, like, now I'm thinking, like, man, I haven't even done that. Like, I really want to do that now, because it is, like, I mean, me as an artist, like, I don't make music for other people. I make it for myself. But it is very important to me to have that, like, feedback, because I'm very unsure all the time. And it's nice to have, like, that positive reinforcement. And I think a lot of musicians are that way. So, yeah, I think, yeah, people really should reach out and just send a message and, like, say, oh, that was awesome. Or, like, share it, you know, and say something nice in the share or something like that. Because, like I was saying earlier, we're in a place right now where, like, since you don't have that feedback as a musician, like, the part of your worth that isn't already ingrained in you is coming from likes and shares and messages and listens and streams and all of that stuff, you know, and that really sucks. Yeah. It sucks to say that, and it sucks to be in that place, but it's real. The more people can reach out, I think the better.
Yeah, I think that's a very honest and insightful way to look at it.
Thank you.
And I think the crazy thing about social media is that it's not even close to an accurate representation of your worth, but people rely on it because, like, it's a number. Like, you can plainly see that number.
Yeah, well, it's like case in point. It's really wild. Like I posted a video last night, right when lockdown got lifted. I went on a camping trip out to Montana, and I was by myself, and I wrote like a cowboy-ish kind of song, and I recorded it one morning in my tent, like a video. I actually had COVID 3 weeks ago now. I'm better now, but I was in bed just going through my stuff, and I found that video, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna post that. So I like edited it, and I posted it last night. I posted it at maybe like 8 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, I had only had like 4 likes on it, and I started to feel like really bad, and I had to stop myself and be like, dude, it doesn't matter how many likes you get. And then, like, I got a text message from one of my friends who lives in Tennessee who was like, man, I just watched your video and it was so good. I love that song. And that meant so much to me. And what was crazy is she, like, didn't like it on Facebook. And I didn't, like, notice that she had even viewed it. But she watched it and she liked it. And she sent me a message and it felt so good. And then, like, today I woke up and I had a bunch of likes and a bunch of comments. And then all of a sudden I felt great. And I hate that. Like, I hate that that made me feel good and that I wasn't just, like, satisfied just doing it. But, yeah, like, I felt it in real time, you know? And then, like, that illusion that you think nobody's listening or watching it when really there are people that are probably paying way more attention than you expect. I like things that I don't watch all the way through. And then sometimes I watch something all the way through and I forget to like it because I watched it all the way through and I wasn't. Then just keep scrolling. You know what I mean? It's a terrible representation. And it's, I think as musicians, we need to snap ourselves out of it somehow. I think it's important to pay some attention to it. Like there's something there, but it's not everything.
Yeah, definitely. So I've kind of heard this phrase used for teachers. So I wonder if this is something that you have thought of, or do you think that the whole music community could benefit from the idea that, like, if you could just change one person's life?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I mean, like, I had someone send me a message the other day who saw us at a house show in Boise, Idaho, and it was, there were maybe like 15 people there. It was an awesome show. It was in a living room, like, it was packed with like 15 or 20 people probably. And she sent me a message asking me what, like, the last song on our first LP, it's called Morning Tides, what that song was about. And she had messaged me before and told me that that song was, like, important to her for, like, some stuff she was going through at the time. And I told her what my interpretation of it was. And she was like, wow, that's really interesting. I'd like to share mine with you sometime. I think I'm going to get it tattooed on my arm. And I was like, what? You're going to tattoo this song on your arm? And, like, it's a song that I almost didn't put on the record because it doesn't sound anything like the rest of the record. And it's, like, very left field. And I wrote it, like, years beforehand. And I just had it and wanted to put it out. So I did it. And, like, now she wants to tattoo it on her arm. Like, that's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy. It's amazing. But, like, that to me is, like, that's just one person at this random show that I didn't really think went that well. But, like, for her, that song obviously is really important, you know? So just like you were saying, you make one impact in one person's life. And it's, like, that's very important.
I want to thank Adam Gross for telling that story. It's not very often I've heard about a musician being able to influence someone's life to that degree. So I find that very inspiring. So far, we've been listening to SM Wolf from Seasons 6 and Seasons 8. But these next two songs are from SM Wolf's newest releases, both in 2020. This is Sound Surround from Phases of What?
Let it define what I've done.
Hi, I'm Adam Gross from the band SM Wolf, and you're listening to The Scene from Indiana Public Radio.
That was What Are You Doing? So I have two more questions that kind of work together. And the first one is, do you have any advice for aspiring musicians out there? That can be musicians from Indiana or listening from somewhere else.
Yeah, don't wait. Just do it. Like, don't wait for the right opportunity. Don't wait until, like, you have all the gear you want. Just go out and do it. Like, play a show. If you want to write a song and you've never written a song, just write a song. Like, my first song was terrible. My first 20 songs were terrible. I think I write okay songs now, but it took a long time to get there, you know? Like, just do it. Just start creating. And once you start creating, more creativity will probably follow. If you hit a rut, that's all right. Take a little break. Do, you know, like I was saying, do something else to snap yourself out of it and keep creating. So I think that just doing it, getting it out there, especially these days, like, you can put stuff on Bandcamp and SoundCloud for free. You can put things on Spotify for a small fee. Facebook and Instagram and TikTok are all at your disposal. You can do whatever you want. Like, there are so many opportunities to just make music. Just do it. And don't expect it to be great right away. And if it is great right away, that's amazing. But if it's not great right away, that's very, very normal.
I think that's very true, and I do think that there's a lot of unknown talent because of, like you said, some people just haven't done it yet. Have you ever received any advice that you would like to share with an aspiring musician?
Yeah, for sure. I've met, like, some of my idols. Like, I've played with Destroyer. I've played with 90% of the Olivia Tremor Control, like, two of my favorite bands of all time, huge influences on me, and I, like, was always too afraid to ask, but inadvertently they give advice, you know, like, I was talking to Will Hart, who's the, like, one of the songwriters from Olivia Tremor Control and did a lot of their recording, and we were talking about microphones, and he was talking about how they rented a Neumann U87 for one album they did, and he was like, but when we didn't rent that, like, we just use an SM58, which, like, for people who don't know, a Neumann U87 costs like $6,000 or $7,000, and an SM58 costs $100. And that was like not direct advice, but it was like, I was like, oh my God, duh. Like, of course, this thing that was like crucial to my musical development as a kid, they recorded with a $100 microphone because they were kids when they made it. It was a DIY situation. Like, just keeping that in perspective, like, remembering that, like, the art speaks for itself. That was like a really good inadvertent piece of advice that he gave me, I think. And then, like, even just like friends have given me good advice. And the one that I've been hanging on to most lately is just, like, as we've gone through band member changes and things, and as I've learned more things as a songwriter and have gotten into new things, our new songs sound nothing like the songs on our first record. Yeah. There's not a lot of connection. And first, I was like, man, I don't know. Like, phases of what I recorded mostly by myself. And I was talking to some people and I was like, maybe I should just put this out as a solo record because it doesn't really sound like SM Wolf, but I really want to put effort behind it. And I don't want to compete with myself at the same time, you know? A few different people told me, they were like, who cares if it sounds the same? Like, SM Wolf started as a solo thing. If the band's fine with it, that shouldn't matter. And, like, who cares if it sounds like your first record? And, like, thinking about that, though, like, if you're at the point to where you're not living off your music, that's the one bonus, is that you can do whatever you want. And if no one likes it, big deal. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. So, like, don't box yourself in. You know, I think, like, don't box yourself in terms of needing the perfect gear, and don't box yourself in terms of thinking like, well, this doesn't sound like what I used to do. If it's what you want to do, do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel like you've been able to reach a wider audience because your music has changed over time?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, when SM Wolf first started, it was more punky, more abrasive, I think. And then over the years, it's kind of like calmed down a little bit. And it's got like, there's more acoustic elements and there's more like power poppy elements. And I think that we've been asked to play some things that like we wouldn't have been asked to play before.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the Indiana music community?
Sure. Our newest full length is Phases of What. That came out in April. Obviously, I would suggest that people check it out. It's on all the streaming platforms and on Bandcamp. That's our third full length. We have a couple albums out on vinyl. And then, yeah, we just released a 2-song single in October that has a really hard political bent to it called What Are You Doing? That one definitely is more angsty and leans on the punky side of things. If anyone is upset with the way things have been going the last 4 years, I highly recommend checking that out. And I mean, just in general, I think something that I've realized lately, I was wondering the other day, there's this artist named Richard Dawson from England who I really like. And I was wondering like, I wonder if he's done anything during the pandemic. And I went on his Bandcamp and he released an album during the pandemic of like 9 songs and it's awesome. And I had no idea. And it came out in like July. I thought like, man, I should really follow all the people that I like on social media and like stuff and like check their Bandcamps and follow them on Bandcamp and like make a Bandcamp account, because I always just use it as an artist, not as a listener. So like I went on and I was shocked that there's like all these bands, local and otherwise, that I really love that I wasn't following. Like wasn't following on Instagram. I wasn't following on Facebook. I wasn't following on Bandcamp. I made a Bandcamp listener account and downloaded the app and like, it's blown my mind. I've been listening to so much more local stuff. I've been like aware of people putting things out that I wasn't aware of before, and like live streams, like aware of those happening. I would highly recommend that people go follow all of the people that they like, make a private Bandcamp account. Bandcamp is the best place to listen and buy music from because the majority of the share goes to the artists. Spotify is probably the worst, but it's better than nothing. Listen to as much as you can and follow and contribute and just reach out to people, even if it seems super random. If there's an artist that you like, just take a second to send them a message and say, like, I just want you to know I listened to your album today and it's really great, because that means more than like you could ever really know.
Thank you for your time, Adam. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Major support for The Scene comes from the Vice President of Information Technology at Ball State. Ball State's music media production program are underwriters and listeners like you who support their local public radio station. Our show is produced entirely by Ball State students. Kyler Altenhoff and myself are the show's producers and engineers. Our booking and communications coordinator is Gabe Hua. This episode was produced by me, your host, Christopher Golab. Special thanks to The Hi-Fi, who let us record this week's artists, and to Adam Gross for joining me. A final thank you to the Ethan Hardwick and Kyle Mears, who mixed the music from seasons 6 and 8. To find out more about the bands and venues we feature on The Scene, visit our website, indianapublicradio.org/the scene, where you can learn more about the program and listen to our episode archive. Again, that's at indianapublicradio.org/the scene. Also, if you'd like to keep up with what we're up to next, follow our Facebook page. Just search for The Scene from Indiana Public Radio and find us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @thescene on IPR. We're also on Apple Podcasts and wherever else you find your podcasts. Give The Scene from Indiana Public Radio a search to add us to your favorite podcasting app. This has been another episode in our Indiana Mainstays series. Thanks for being with us, and join us again next time to hear what's happening in The Scene, here on The Scene. For old friends gone gray, you braved every